balancing family obligations with Talmud Torah is a topic that I was given to speak about this morning. In Yonah D'Yoma on a number of grounds. One, today is a celebration of the Thanksgiving holiday in this country. Many people have family obligations of different sorts. And how does this add up? We measure it against the issue of Talmud Torah. Number two, it's in Yonah D'Yoma, based on the opening pasuk of the Parsha, which we read it this morning. Vayetze Yaakov miber shava vayelech harona. Exactly what happened? When did he go? Where did he go? Is described by the last Rashi in last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha, Rashi gives a whole cheshbon to try to prove to us that he didn't go straight. He spent 14 years in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. Says Rashi, Avalo Nena Shaleim. He wasn't punished for these 14 years. Bizchus HaTorah. Because he was learning Torah. And he explains 22 years that he was away. He was punished. Yosef was away from him. For the 14 years he was not punished. This is the first pasuk in this week's parasha, which is explained at length by the last Rashi. In last week's parasha, based on the Gemara Masechta Megillah, in the Gemara it says, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mekibud Aveim. So we have already our first source in the Chumash and in the Rashi that Talmud Torah is considered to be greater than Kibud Aveim. But let me ask you a question. I think it's a very important question. And it's a very critical question. How'd you learn? When Yitzchak Avinu sent Yaakov away, right? We read the Pesukim and the last six parashas. He said, go, get married, fine, everything's fine, dandy. And then he made a little detour, small little detour, 14 years. Beini Ubeini Chamai, right? That's 14 years to spend in Shem Ve'Ever. Was this against the opposition of Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak Avinu opposes, says, no, Yankala, don't you dare go. Don't you dare go to, don't go to yeshiva. Go do business and get married. Sounds familiar? Don't go to yeshiva. Go get married. Go to get some extra parnosa. Or no. Yitzchak Avinu, we don't find Yitzchak Avinu being opposed. I don't think in Chumash, I don't think we find it in Rashi, Midrashim. What was Yitzchak Avinu's stand on this matter? Many of you have been through this in life. Your father took a position. Either he said, you want to learn? Fine. You want to learn? Terrible. Don't learn. Go do something else. What did Yitzchak Avinu say about Yaakov Avinu's decision to spend 14 years based Medrash of Shem? Who knows? Who was it? Sariah, Diuk, or something. Anybody? How'd you learn Chumash? I don't know how you learn. Never thought about it. What did Yitzchak Avinu say? We read the Pesukim and we say it beferish. And we just read it last Shabbos. You all paid attention to the Chumash. And the Parshas told us. He gives him explicit orders. Tells him where to go. Tells him as follows. Kulech paden aram. Beisab su'ol avi yimecha. Kach lecha misham yisham yibnos lovan achi yimecha. That's the instructions. Perek chav ches pasuk beis. Clear instructions. Nothing about yeshiva. So was he opposed to it or was he not opposed to it? Okay, so this is not a matter which is, I didn't see it. I didn't see it beferish anywhere in the Gemara. It's the Gemara Megillah talks about it. I didn't see it beferish anywhere in the Rishonim either. And again, you have a bigger Bekiyas, you'll have all these computers where you can finally look things up in a second. But I don't know how to work these things. So you'll find out for me. Please, afterwards, if you find out, let me know, because I really don't know. But I do have a Hamakna. The Sefer HaMakna is the classical Sefer by Pinchas Alevi Horowitz, Chassam Sofer's Rebbe. He wrote the Hafla on Ksubis, and the HaMakna on Kiddushin. On the Flam and Aleph Medbeis, with the Sug of Kibbut Aveim. So, the Sefer HaMakna says, you know, a person really should not be going against his father's commandment to learn Torah. After all, if you go against your father's commandment, you are in effect, quote, Soseris Tvarov. Ezu Mora and a Soseris Tvarov. The Gemara Naflam and Alpha Beis in the bottom in the seventh of Kiddush. And then Hamakna says if a person is told by his father, don't go to yeshiva, and he goes to yeshiva anyway, he's being Soseris Tvarov. And it's over in Mora of Aim, and it's prohibited even for the sake of Talmud Torah. What's Lashon Gemara Megillah? Come on, you all know it. This is Gemara, you do know. Godel Talmud Torah Yosemi, Kibud Avim. Yes, it's true. For the 14 years that he was sitting in the Beis Medrash Shem Eber, he couldn't do what the Gemara calls Kibud. What does that mean? Machal u'mashke, Malbish Memotzi Machlis, Malbish Mechas, all those things, other things. He couldn't do it. He's so far away. He's in Yeshiva far away. But it was not a violation of Moravim. So says the Sefer HaMakneh in Masechet Kiddushin of Laman Aleph Amud Beis. Seems to me that perhaps the Rashba disagrees. Perhaps. The Gemara says as follows in Masechet Kiddushin of Laman Beis Amud Aleph. You have a mitzvah she'i efshe lekayim ayodei acherim. Person is about to do a particular mitzvah. No, you can't appoint an agent to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And your father says, can I have a cup of water? Keep it up. Now you're stuck. You're in a rock in a hard place. Either you do the mitzvah or you do the keep it up. What do you do? Says the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Meniach kvod aviv. And you do the mitzvah. Do the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah. So you're going against your father said. Your father said, give me the water. You're doing the mitzvah. So we have it. We're our first adversarial situation. According to the Hamakna, the case of Yaakov Avinu was not adversarial. He didn't oppose his learning in the yeshiva. Here the Rashba introduces an adversarial relationship. He says, give me water, and you want to do the mitzvah. The halacha is you do the mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah, and you don't give him the water. So the Rashba says, the same thing is true of the mitzvah of Puruvu. The son wants to do Kibud Av V'Em, that's what he'd like to do that. Stay near his parents' house. But this crazy lady, she won't marry him unless he decides to move near her parents. So now he wants to get married. He only has this one woman who's willing to marry him. And she insists on living near her parents in Los Angeles. And his parents are in New York. So the Rashba, you're allowed to go to Los Angeles. You go there, you're not going to do Kibud Av V'Em. Right? Yeah. The answer is, but Puruvu? Puruvu certainly a mitzvah, Puruvu. So Puruvu is a mitzvah. And therefore that overrides the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's what the Tshuvas of Rashba, the Tshuvas of Miuchos, the Simen, Ayin, Resh, Beis. And he goes into a discussion, and he says, you know what? Talmud Torah is Adif from Kibud Av V'Em as by Yaakov Avinu. It's all part of his whole kugel. Puruvu is like a mitzvah rabbi like Talmud Torah. You can sell the Sefer Torah for Talmud Torah and for Puruvu. And you should also know Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Av V'Em. So therefore, a Stam mitzvah is greater than Kibud Av V'Em, and Puruvu is a big mitzvah, and Talmud Torah is also like Puruvu. The mere discussion of Yaakov Avinu's story in the context of this adversarial relationship, where the father says do this and the son is doing that, in opposition to his father's command, gives an impression, at least to me, that the Rashba did not hold like the Sefer HaMakna. And the Rashba said that when Yaakov Avinu went to learn 14 years of Beis Medrash Shem Ve'Ever, it was against the wishes of his father. Understand one more time. The Rashba is discussing over there it's Kibud Av V'Em versus the mitzvah of Puruvu. He says Puruvu wins. You leave your parents' house and go live with your wife's parents' town. And then he throws in that Puruvu is an important mitzvah, and Talmud Torah is an important mitzvah. And after all, Talmud Torah beats out Kibud Av V'Em, same as Puruvu. Where do you find that? The case of Yaakov Avinu. But in the case that the Rashba is discussing, the father said, presumably, that's a discussion, the father said, no, that's that's the Rashba's proof text. He's talking about Kiddushin Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The father says, give me water, and the son says, I want to do a mitzvah. That's how the Rashba gets started. So it seems that he's referring to Pashtus. He disagrees. That Yitzchak Avinu said no, and he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Okay, so that's why I'm opening up this question. So whether the model of Yaakov Avinu, when he learned Torah for 14 years, is a model for balancing Talmud Torah and family relationships when there was no parental opposition, or whether it's a model for when there is parental opposition, seems to be the machlokus between the Hamakna on the one hand, who's quite clear that Flam and Aleph from the base, it's only God will be Kibud Avim, not be more Avim, on the one hand, and the Rashba in the Tshuva, based upon his citation of Kedusha Lamed Beis and his intermingling of the sugyas of Pru Revu, Kibud Avim, Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, so it appears. Okay? Now, it's remarkable that the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Kibud Av Ha'Eim, is explaining that a person wants to go learn Torah in a particular place. And the father says, "Sonny boy, learn here. No yeshivas in this town." You ever hear that? No one heard that? No yeshivas in this town? And he wants to go by his Rebbe. He likes that Rebbe or that yeshiva better. So the Truma Sadeshin says, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, he has a right to go to where he wants to learn. Fine. So, Kibud Av Ha'Eim explains the Gra is pushed aside by mitzvahs. That's the Bifur Shigamar Lamed Beis of Naft with which we started. And then he says, Kol Shkein Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a great mitzvah. This is on the Rashba. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah rabba. Furuhu is a mitzvah rabba. In a much higher level than Stama mitzvah. There's an obvious problem with this Kol Shkein, for those who think for a minute. It's a well-known din, that although Talmud Torah may be the biggest of all mitzvahs, it's connected kulam, nonetheless, we know well that Talmud Torah does not push aside a mitzvah of Eris. Person can't say, "I'm busy learning, I'm not going to use substitutes. I'm not going to eat matzah, I'm not going to go to the sukkah, I'm just going to learn all the time." It doesn't work that way. So what do you mean a kol shkein for Talmud Torah? It's not a kol shkein. As I said before, it's a Rambam. Rambam says a Talmud Torah is pushed aside by a mitzvah she yefshu l'kayim adei achem peragimel nilchus Talmud Torah. So what's interesting, that's peragimel halacha dalet in nilchus Talmud Torah. In peragimel halacha gimel, the previous halacha, there's a lengthy discussion of how important, how great the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. It's such an important mitzvah, he says. Such an important mitzvah. There's no bigger mitzvah than Talmud Torah. Keneged kulo. The Talmud maybe the day Maisa. Talmud Koron LeMaisa. What do you see from this, Rabosai? That Talmud Torah fundamentally is greater than other mitzvahs. As the Vilna Gaon correctly pointed out in this Kal V'Chomer. I'll ask me a kasha. But how can it be if Talmud Torah itself has to bow to the other mitzvahs? And we, in fact, should close our Gemaras and perform the other mitzvahs. That's for a different reason. Because if a person's not going to perform the mitzvahs, his Talmud Torah is no Talmud Torah. Because what do you mean? You need Lilmar Amanas Lasos. Anyone who learns Torah with the intention not to perform any mitzvahs, his learning is no learning. Zeinachinami, in principle, learning is the most important mitzvah, more than any other mitzvah. But if he's not going to do with the mitzvah at that time, his learning is not called learning. So if learning is not called learning, he can't push away any mitzvahs. This could be the pshat. This could be the pshat, a potential pshat. Fine. So then the question becomes, if indeed the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is in fact, listen carefully now, in fact, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has to be pushed aside in order to fulfill a mitzvah, a different mitzvah, we go back to the beginning that we started the shiur with, the Sefta Megillah, the last Rashi and Parshas told us. It's Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mitzvahs Kibud Av Ha'Eim. I'm asking a question. Why? Why? We just learned that a mitzvah Sheyev Shaydei Acherim is more important than Talmud Torah. So why is it that Talmud Torah is more important than the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ha'Eim? That's the question. So I believe the answer is as follows. The mitzvah of Kibud Av Ha'Eim, in contrast to other mitzvahs, is not as narrowly defined. Another mitzvah, you have to eat a kazayas of matzah. You don't want to take out time for your Seder to eat a kazayas of matzah. It's a little much lower than aslasos. It's ridiculous. No one can give you a dispensation and say, you know what, it's more important that you should learn and don't bother eating the matzah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu did not give that dispensation. And there's no one else who can give it. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of kibud avim, kibud avim is fundamentally benam lachaveira, that a father and mother have a right to ask their child to perform the mitzvah of kibud. But there are some limitations placed on this so-called right. A father and mother are not permitted to make, we'll call it, unjustified demands on their child. Just imagine father tells his son, you know, I'd like you for the next 3 weeks to do nothing else but walk around the block. Just walk around this block for the next 3 weeks. You can sleep 8 hours, maybe daven, and the rest of the time just walk around the block. So keep it out of aim. What would you say about that? Are you required to walk around the block for the next, what, yes or no? What do you say? Keep it out of aim. Huh? No, why not, Phil? Let's see, that was effective. He has a window, and he's going to see you walk around the block. Every time he's going to have a hanov. Watch how you walk with a good posture. You walk around the block, he's going to enjoy it. The terror says it's ridiculous. He's making an unreasonable demand. As the Chazon Ish puts it in his Sefer Neradeya, Chazon Ish is one of those poskim who says that there is a mitzvah to obey a father and mother, even if there's really no direct benefit. Not for now. Afal Pikani says the father makes an unreasonable demand. The father is chayev levatel ritzono. The father is chayev to overcome and to cancel out his desire for his son to do something if it doesn't make any sense. And because the father is obligated to levatel ritzono, the son in turn is not required to follow ritzono of him in such a case. You'll see it in the Chazon Ish's parish in Yoridea. It seems to me a yesod godel. This is the yesod of the Gemara Masechet Megillah. Not all parents realize this. That's the problem. A father who has an opportunity to have his son learn in the yeshiva, it's so important to learn in the yeshiva that as much as a father wants son to be near him, the father is required to be mevatel ritzono and allow his son to learn in the yeshiva. Hence, godel talmud Torah yosef v'kibud avim. Since the mitzvah of Kibbut Avim of Talmud Torah is so important, to sit in the yeshiva for 14 years, as many years, is such an important mitzvah. It shapes a person's whole life. So the father is required to be mevatel his ratzon to have a sonny boy near him so they can see him and they can talk and he can help him. That's all. Finished. Now, it is true, that even if a father does not ask a son to give him a cup of tea, and the son walks in with a cup of tea, it's still a mitzvah. That's certainly a mitzvah. Of course it's a mitzvah. We call it a mitzvah kiyumis. You're not mechuyev unnecessarily because the father didn't ask for it. Certainly a mitzvah kiyumis is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to give your father a cup of tea, but you're not necessarily mafsik your limud for this mitzvah kiyumis, only for mitzvah kiyumis, and it's no kiyumis because the father's demand that you leave the yeshiva and come to be near him and to fulfill kibud av v'aim is halachically an unreasonable demand. This has very great relevance halacha l'maisa. Rabbosai, if you look in the Yoredeya, in Siman Reish Mem, the Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkot and Ches, is the following case. Listen to this case, this is relevant to today. Today, halacha l'maisa. A son is learning in a yeshiva in the same city where his father lives, same city. And the father says, my dear son, please come home and feed me. Give me a cup of tea, go to the store, buy me some, what we say, turkey, whatever. And come home. The son says, Tati, I'm Seder, I'm busy, I'm learning during the storm and between the storm and after, I'm always learning. I can't come home to help you give you the food. Says the Pesach Tshuva, he's required to stop his learning in order to feed his father. The question is obvious, Rabbosai. We have a Mefurash Gemara Masechta Megillah. Godol Talmud Torah Yosef Mikibud Av Eim. So why can't the son say, in this case, sorry, daddy, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Ikibut Ava A. So I believe the answer is as follows. The yisod of that din of Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Ikibut Ava A, is, as we mentioned before, that the father has the obligation to be mevatel his ritzono, to cancel out his own desire of a son near him and help him, because of the overwhelming and overriding importance of the son spending time in the yeshiva. Now, the yeshiva is far away. It's logistically impossible for the son to leave the yeshiva and then go give his father a cup of tea and go back to the yeshiva, especially if it's a 10-hour plane ride. So it's not shaykh. It's an impossible thing. So therefore, the son has every right to stay in the yeshiva, because the father has to move out to Ritzona. However, if the yeshiva and the is in the same town where the father lives, so it's not so crazy for the son to leave the yeshiva, go spend time with his father, and then come back to the yeshiva. In that kind of a case, the son would be obligated to do so, because the father is not obligated to move out to Ritzona. He can still learn where he wants to learn, will take up a small amount of time to take care of his father. So therefore, it seems, if a person is asked by his father or mother, do me a favor, we have a Thanksgiving gathering. I'm not making any comment about the importance of Thanksgiving or its lack of importance. That's not today's topic. But the Maisa Lemaisa, and in this particular family, it's a Zazach, and the family's getting together, and then maybe the uncles are coming, and the kahunas, the cousins are coming. I don't know, whatever the case may be. And this guy says, what do you mean? I insist on staying in the yeshiva. I'm not coming. My Rebbe taught me, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibet Aveim. And hangs the phone up on his father. He's a Meshugana. He's a Petsch. He didn't learn the Pesach Tshuva. Pesach Tshuva said, no. Now, the same guy is sitting and learning in Eretz Yisrael, and the father says, can you please come over for Thanksgiving turkey? I think that the father's mad. And he has the money to waste on a ticket for a weekend. That's not reasonable, because it's Chayav Levat L'Ratzono. He sent yourself off to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't oppose that, we hope. So it's understood that he's going to be there. And Nebuch, he will not be around your table, Nebuch, for the Thanksgiving Seder. And that's it. In my family, more often than not, they weren't around my table, the Pesach Seder. So this is the Chora Kavachayim. So this is you have to always go with what's reasonable. Phil, you had a question.
Yeah, just how do we define what's reasonable? Because what's reasonable to the son with his background is not reasonable to the father.
So very good question. Very good question. This is not the time to go into this detail, but this idea of being reasonable to me is the most critical issue, bichlal, and all these issues of kibud av aim. And the problem is going to be that who's going to decide what's reasonable? So who decides everything in Jewish law? Halacha, right? And who tells you what the halacha is?
Rabbis.
The rabbis. Big question. Who's rabbi? We'll read in next week's parsha. The Yom Ha'esav Yeshli Rav. Because the Esav also has a Rav. So the question is, who's rabbi? Is it the son's rabbi? It says one thing. And the father rabbi is a different thing. So which rabbi wins? The answer to me is obvious. The son's rabbi. This is Shiloh. This is the son's Shiloh. The son has the Shiloh of Kibud Av Aim. He has to ask his Rav. That could be his Rav. You have to pick the right Rav. In other words, some Rabbanim, I don't want to stand debate about any Rabbanim, but some Rabbanim, I just have no sense of balance. I just, they can't understand the situation. But in general, you have a Shabbai Rav, the Rav should understand the situation. Not limited to this particular case. The Rav has to evaluate who the son is, who the father is, the situation is, what the Midigan Malkam is, background is, what the history is, what the future is. A more complicated child than some meat falls into some milk. That's a little easier to figure out. This requires a little bit more background. But I believe it's the son's Rav, with the proper, all the information given to him. And I'll go further than that. If the father wants to appeal the case to the son's Rav, he's every right to do so. And it turns out the son left out 5 pieces of information, as often happens, when the child is presented. So then the rabbi has to change the psak and give the Talmud a patch. You didn't tell me A, B, C, D, and E. But I didn't want to tell you, I thought you might pass it the other way. It's like any other shot. You got to tell the rabbi half a question, you got a half an answer. which is often, you know, they say, the rabbi said, based on misinformation, disinformation, a lack of information. That's Sagas Botel Mavutu Ka'af for the Arab. But it's the Shoyl's fault. He has no right to say, I'm relying on this Rav. It's not only limited to Hilchas Kibbutz Av. Yes? Right, but let's say the son's Rav said that the father's Mechuyav to Mevatel his Rotzen. And the father says, my Rav is not Mechuyav to Mevatel my Rotzen. So it doesn't matter, the son still wins because his Rav says that the father's Mechuyav to Mevatel his Rotzen. And the father better than have to listen, neither the son, so it's a standoff. The son does what he wants. It is. It's the son's Shiloh, whether he is required to obey what the father is saying, right? Now let's say the son's Rebbe says, your father's mechuyav to mevatel his ratzon, and therefore you don't have to listen. And the father says, well, my rabbi said, I'm not mechuyav to mevatel my ratzon. So it seems to me, that the son's Rav has the final word. Simon suggests, no, it's the father's Rav, because the father's Rav says, he's not mechuyav to mevatel his ratzon. And in Mela, the obligation stands on the son. I hear what you're saying. Right, I hear what you're saying. Not bad, but I still think that's the son's Rav's call. I think so. Yes, sir.
So here's a practical question for those learning in Israel for the year. So like, let's say your parents come and they want to take you out of yeshiva for a day or two, but the yeshiva has its policy that, you know, it's going to mess up the chukru stuff. But on the other hand, it's Kibra Avim. They came all the way there to Israel. They want to see you.
So the answer they should stay in America. Such a push to answer. And give the $2,000 that's stuck. $2,000 for the plane, and who knows what else. And all those, they take them to eat out 5 nights a week, and they have to eat out in this restaurant and this restaurant. That's absurd. It's absurd. What do you mean they're there already? They have miles?
Yeah.
Save the miles. I'll find a place for the miles. I'll find you a good stuckle place to put the miles.
No, but you hear the question, I'm saying.
Of course I hear the question. That's the problem. Parents come, they send the kids to the yeshiva, and then they want to take the kid out of the yeshiva. So what'd you send them there for? The yeshiva has its rules and regulations. We have yeshiva. You want to come benes manim. There's plenty benes manim. A few weeks here, a few weeks there. It's a good time to come. But the best time, everyone knows the best time in Israel is Sukkot. Less man the pollen. Everyone agrees? The number one week of the whole year is Sukkot, correct?
You have to
take 1 week of the year, it's Sukkot. So
come on.
Expensive? What's that? So stay home. So shouldn't spend any money. Manashach. So then let them come on Sukkot, and they should take them around to the various space of Shoevis. Meredith. And then they can want to stay another week till Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Then goodbye. And leave them there till Pesach, or till the end of June. Or July, whenever this man is officially over, leave him. That seems to me the reasonable thing for parents to do when the children go to Eretz Yisrael. I'll give you from my perspective. Everyone has different perspectives on these things. Okay. So now, something very interesting. Very interesting. We have to analyze the question of Talmud Torah and Kibbutz Av Va'Em. In a certain sense, gentlemen, they both, listen carefully, please. In a certain sense, they both lose out to a mitzvah she'ev shel asol sedei cheirim. Kibush l'abed beis, kibud av aim. And my cotton av tes for Talmud Torah. So they're both, like, they're tied. They both lose to a mitzvah she'ev sedei cheirim, and they're tied with each other. Comes the Rambam, that's how he phrases it in Hilchos Mamrim. He says like this. He says, "Im ein shem achayim la'sosa, yisasli mitzvah yaniach kivod aviv, shahu v'aviv chayavim midvar mitzvah." Paraphrase Mon Kiddushin. "V'talmud Torah gadol mikibud avim." In other words, in this tiebreaker, Talmud Torah is greater. And the way we're explaining the reason why it's greater is only because the father is required to mevatel his rotzo for the important mitzvah of his son study Torah in yeshiva, and it's unreasonable to expect him to come home to give him tea. If he's in town, as the Pesachet Shuvah says, it is reasonable. That's a reasonable request, and the son is required to honor it. It's a very important yisod, I believe, in this nakud. Now, There's another family obligation. And that's a family obligation to get married, to start a family. How does that fit in with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What will happen if a person, by getting married, will have to leave the yeshiva? It's been known to happen. So what do? Stay in yeshiva your whole life and just never get married, never have a family, never have children? Doesn't sound right, no? Doesn't sound like it's an impossibility. We obviously have to leave the yeshiva if it's necessary to get married and to raise a family, to make a parnasa. So we know the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, a person should first study Torah and then get married. Why? Amazing. Ki ha'osik b'mitzvah potem in ha'mitzvah kol shken in Talmud Torah. A Talmud Torah is greater than any other mitzvah. What are you talking about? It's just not true. We just learned before. Talmud Torah loses to other mitzvahs. So how can the Rambam say that a person should study Torah before and not get married? Because Talmud Torah is a kal vachomer from other mitzvahs. Talmud Torah loses to other mitzvahs. What's going on? This question is raised by the Netziv in the Shiltas, Simon Kuf Gimel, Sivkot and Yudal, the Hamek Shelem. Gives an interesting answer, fascinating answer. We discussed before the Mar Katan that tells us that Talmud Torah loses to a mitzvah, Shev Shadei Acherim. The context there is what we'll call in our language a mitzvah overes. Now or never. Do the mitzvah now or never do it. However, what will happen? I'll do this mitzvah now of Talmud Torah, and the other mitzvah I'll do tomorrow. So there we wouldn't apply this principle. It says in the Tziv, Pruruvu is a mitzvah she'ein overes. You can't do it today, do it tomorrow. So therefore, a person is permitted and in a certain sense required to continue to pursue his mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though it means a postponement of the mitzvah of Pru-Ruvu. Now, of course, there are a number of caveats. One of the caveats is that a person has to learn Torah B'Tahara. The person, as he gets older, has Yetzirah, which are normal for people who get a bit older and not married, then his Torah is polluted. So then it's not Torah, as we said before, Lumot Shalom Anas Lasos. So that Torah, it's not B'Tahara, is not good, so he has to get married in any event. But otherwise, he can keep postponing it. Postpone it forever. That's only Ben Azai. Ben Azai was Choshka Nafsha B'Torah. He was an exception to the rule. I don't think anyone in this world who's today in this kind of a level. I don't think anybody is in that level. And even Ben Azai case, if you remember, they asked Ben Azai, why aren't you getting married? So in a certain sense, he answered, let other people get married. What does that mean? In a sense, he said that from his perspective, this is a wild idea. It was a mitzvah she'efshar de'acherim. Not that he would fulfill the mitzvah pru'ruvu through acherim. But since pru'ruvu milu asaretz, so fill up the world. So the others will fill up the world. I want to sit and learn my whole life. That's Ben Azai. There's no one in this room, forgive me for being so, just saying things just so like, without giving him a b'china. But I don't think anyone in this room who could be like Ben Azai to never get married. You have to get married. How early do you try to get married? And we all know too well in this room, just because you try to get married on Thursday, doesn't mean you find the caliber by Friday. So, but still, okay, fine. Remarkably, the Netziv goes, and yet, has an interesting shot in the Rambam, she goes as follows. Listen to what the Tziv says. If the mitzvah will be a short mitzvah, then you have to do the mitzvah and go back to learn Torah. If the mitzvah, such as what's the ultimate mitzvah which prevents you from learning for good? Marriage. That's the Tziv says. Marriage. The guy's learning Yom Valayla. Once he gets married, he has to make a parnasa. So, come on. He just can't do it anymore. So then the Netziv says, in that kind of a case, then the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not kal from a shar mitzvah hazeh. That's what the Netziv says on his own. There's a raya gadol to the Netziv, which he doesn't bring. It's not over there. And that is as follows. The Rambam's Lashon in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Lachadal, is, I'll give it to you. Hoyo lefon of asiyas mitzvah of Talmud Torah, im erv shal tzvei lecherim, lo yafsik bilimudo, as we learn. V'im lav, yase ha-mitzvah v'yachzol le-talmudo. Those last two words, what are they doing there? As a t'nai, the only time you have to stop the mitzvah, excuse me, to stop learning in order to do the mitzvah is with the condition of yachzol le-talmudo, Rabbo Osai. So if marriage is a mitzvah, that you can't be yachzol le-talmudo, it's just too all-consuming, the parnasa and everything else, so then you're allowed to keep learning. If this is correct, let's go back to our original question. We're talking about Talmud Torah versus Kibud Av Va'en. So what do we say? We said a distinction between someone who's going to a faraway place and someone who's staying nearby. So we explained it earlier based on what's reasonable and unreasonable. When is the father required to be Mevatel Ritzono, and in which case the son is not required to obey the father's command. They make a different shot. If the father and the son are in the same town, so then we say that the son is required to stop the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Yeshiva, v'yazel the Talmudo. He'll go home for whatever short period of time, suda, activity, whatever it may be, to make his parents happy. Yeah? V'yazel the Talmudo. Is required to do so. But if he's so far away, it's unfeasible, it's not feasible to go and take care of the father's needs and keep coming back to Talmudo back and forth, it's impossible, then if we're suggesting now, he would not be required to do so. The way we're saying Pshat Narabosai is a distinction in Hilchus Talmud Torah. Before we said it's a distinction in Hilchus Kibud Av Va'em, whether the father is required to be Mevatel Ritzono or not. Now we're suggesting it's a distinction in Hilchos Talmud Torah, whether Yazel Talmudo is possible or not possible. So we have discussed, Rav Osai, some of the difficulties in balancing Talmud Torah with family obligations. Primarily discussing Kibud Av Va'em, which is, of course, in Yonah Diyom of today that people have with their. Because today's Thanksgiving, and with this also the Yom, because of the Sukkim we're reading, Chumash and Rashi, and as we went to the Pshat of the Hamakta and the Pshat of the Rashba, Pshat of the Kiddush and the end of the first Perek, and then we spoke a little bit about the midst of getting married. That getting married, a person's permitted to learn Torah and not get married right away. We explained a couple of reasons why it should be so. It's a Shein Overis. As we just explained. But now we come to the third and final aspect of this shiur, which is balancing Talmud Torah with the family obligation, not of getting married, but of staying married, or of being married. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's the Yechiv Talmud Torah is obligatory upon everybody. Bein oni, bein osher, you're poor, you're rich, or you're sick, or you're healthy, or you're young, or you're old. And no matter what, no matter, it keeps going higher and higher, huh? And the very, very last one, which is the hardest of all, is three words. What are the three words? You guys don't know Rambam by heart? You guys know Rambam's here. The three words are, afilu, Baal Isha Ubonim. A married man, a father of children, that's harder than a poor person, a rich person, an old person, a sick person, you name it. This is the hardest of all. Those of in the room who are Baruch Hashem and blessed with the title of Baal Isha Ubonim know what the Rambam speaks. Because here we have a difficult balance. How do you balance your obligation of Talmud Torah with your responsibilities towards a wife and children? I'm not discussing now your parents, I'm discussing getting married. Baruch Hashem, you already have, are married and have a wife and children. Now what? So Rambam says, even if you're a Balisha Bonin, you're required to set aside time by Yom of Alayla to learn Torah. He did not say that you ignore your wife or you ignore your children. Not what it says in the Rambam. You have to be koveya time to learn Yom and Laila. Doesn't mean that you are learning all the time and totally ignoring your wife and your children. It's not what the Rambam said. So if you're going to hide behind this Rambam, I think it's the galapana batara shalok aloch. A person has a responsibility to his wife and his children, which has to balance with his responsibility to learn Torah. It's a difficult balance. This is probably the most difficult balancing act of all. Probably harder than kibud av aim. Probably harder than to know when to try to get married. I think it's the hardest of all. You're already married, you have a child. What do you do? What do you do? How do you handle it? So here it's hard to give a hard and fast rules. There is a Masorah that in the Shana Rishona that a husband should be closer to home, and assuming he's a full-time learner, that he learns full-time three Sedarim, morning, afternoon, and evening. So there's a Masorah in certain places that for the Shana Rishona, the evening Seder should be in his house, so that he should cement the bond of marriage between himself and his wife. And his wife should see it's not a battle. Please forgive me for saying this. But the wife packs the lunch for the husband at 8:30 in the morning. He goes to yeshiva. He's there from 9 to 6:30. And he comes back home and she has no clue what he's doing there. She has rumors he learns, but she never heard, saw him learn a word. So it's critical. It's so critical for every husband to demonstrate that he's a serious learner. And the way to demonstrate you're a serious learner is you have a chavrusa come to your house. You don't battle. If you battle here, that's one thing. Don't ever battle when your wife is listening. That's what goes on in the yeshiva. That's what goes on. I'm immersed in nefesh and whatever she's doing, and you're sitting in the yeshiva battling. So if the man and his chavrusa are learning, and the wife gets such hanah from listening to her husband learn Torah with chavrusa, and they yell at each other, and they fight with each other, like the Kedavah Shel Torah, yeah, Moritz. Shad is wrong. Maybe she's listening. Who's winning? Is my husband winning, or is Chavrusa winning? And what exactly is going on over there? And it's Lachat Shel Torah. That's Moritz Machayin Nefashis. That's a Masorah, which again I can't show it to you chapter and verse, but I think it has a very good basis. Let me go further than that. Speaking from personal experience, I believe it's very important not only that the wife should see her husband learning, probably even more important in a broader sense, after the Baruch Hashem he establishes his credentials, that the children should see their father learn. And it's not enough that the father goes to learn the Beis Medrash, which is of course very nice. If the children don't see the father learning at home, then they're not going to have the chashivas for Talmud Torah that they should have. Because after all, children learn from a parental example. And I think it's very, very important that this should be demonstrated. In my own personal circumstance, so it's true I have a Beis Medrash here in the yeshiva, and I have a shul not far from my house. But at the same time, I always tried as much as I could to sit and learn in my own house with my svarim piled up with the notes, with the writing. So the children should see this is what their father is doing. And it should give them a taste of what a person is supposed to be doing. Otherwise, the father goes off to Beis Medrash, the yeshiva, and the shul. The kids, they don't know what's going on. They don't see. They don't see how they're going to know what's supposed to be done. I think it's important, as a Baal Isha Ubanim, as a Chi of Talmud Torah, in the following sense. We are discussing before, balancing one against the other. I'm suggesting to you that a person has an obligation of Talmud Torah precisely as a Baal Isha Ubanim. That his wife should know that he's learning, and his children should know that he's learning. That is Mekayim Shneim. He's Mekayim part of his responsibility to his wife and to his children by showing them an example that he's learning Torah. Obviously, the Rambam's not discussing this particular facet. He's discussing it where they conflict with each other. How can a person study Torah when his wife needs him, when his children need him? not just they need him to be an example for Talmud Torah, they need him for much more mundane activities, to go shopping, to do all kinds of things, whatever they need, whatever wives need, whatever children need, to tell them a story, all kinds of things that their parental and spousal obligations that a Baal Yishuv Bonim has. So here the Rambam says that despite the fact that a person can be completely consumed by, number one, his obligation for parnasa, he has to put bread on the table, so his wife and children have what to eat, and number two, what they call spending time with his spouse and with his children, it's called today in America quality time. Right? Call it what you will, but you have to spend some time with your members of your family, so you're required to do so. I say it's bittul Torah. All right, the Rambam says you have to balance them, and don't tell me that you're going to learn from the example of the Gedolei Hador who don't spend any time with the Vilna Gaon as Yadua. The Vilna Gaon has spent very little time, almost none, with his family, and his stories are told. His sons came to visit him, and he just said, you should make sure quickly go back to learn. Then asked them how they were doing, how their parnasa was, how their lives were, their kids were. Garnished. So you have Gedolei Hador in every, not actually every home, not every generation, has Gedolei Hador. But there are many Gedolim. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we have Rav Yashiv Shalita, Gadol Hador. So go ahead and read his history, that when he married his wife, this is how it's told. I was told this story, believe it or not. When he married his wife, Aleha Shalom, the daughter of Rav Aryeh Levine, so Rav Aryeh Levine knew right away that he knew he was getting himself into, that this man is going to be learning Kol Yomim V'Layla, Yomim V'Layla, Yomim V'Layla. So he told his daughter, I was told, don't worry, I'll spend time with you. Kach shamati. Kach shamati. Okay? These are even a different expression I might have been saying. But you look up in the storybooks. But these are exceptions. Right? You're not Rav Vilna Gaon. You're not Rav Yashiv. You're not. Don't get insulted. So you have to spend some more time with the wife and children. Even these have these kolol prushim they have in Yerushalayim. Kolol prushim. Gevaldik. But the rules that almost all of them have is not until 10 years after you're married. To first establish a home and show your wife and your children who you are. Then you want to join a kollel prushim. I'm not saying you should do it. But then, okay, you'll figure out a different level of balance between these obligations. Rabosa, we spent some time on discussing balancing Talmud Torah and family obligations in terms of kibbutz av, in terms of getting married, in terms, most importantly, of your responsibilities to your wife and children. You should all be zocha to fulfill these obligations, all of them, and to balance them properly. Where's Minch? Up or down?
Right here.
Minch is right here. Okay.